All God's people said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, today is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to take a one-week hiatus from the sermon series that we've been working on, and I just really felt like it would be a great opportunity to not only look at some Thanksgiving scriptures, but to give you each as members of Christ's body an opportunity to say, I want to thank God for ... And I would encourage you, and we're going to take those opportunities in just a minute. First of all, I want to read a few scriptures, and we're going to have the praise team's going to stay close here, and throughout the service we might have them sing one or two more songs. But Thanksgiving can't be about, or it shouldn't be about, what a preacher talks about. Thanksgiving should come from the inside of each one of us as a praise and as an offering back to the Lord, who is worthy of that thanksgiving. So first scripture that I want to look at today is found in Psalm 100. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. I want to go back to verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The Hebrew definition of that word noise there literally means to split the ears with sound, the sound of triumph. I want you to think about this. My dad used to say, you might as well get used to worshiping and praising and celebrating. There's a lot of churches that struggle with outward praise. It's hard, whether because of tradition or cultural upbringing or whatever it might be. My dad used to say, you might as well get used to noise, because this is the quietest world you're ever going to live in. He said, in hell there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and in heaven there is going to be shouts of holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty constantly for all eternity. It's the quietest world we're ever going to live in. And I didn't make up this definition in verse 1. Make a joyful noise, and it means a noise so loud that it will split the ears with sound. It's a sound of triumph. So when we talk about thanksgiving, a sound of triumph is a shout of victory. It's the shout that you hear in the movies when one opposing force defeats another. Anybody ever watch, what's that Mel Gibson movie? Braveheart. When they win a battle, what did they all do when they stood around after winning a battle? They all looked at each other and said, that was pretty good. That was all right. Man, there was celebration. We win. We win. God is looking for us to have thankfulness and thanksgiving that is so real, it cannot stay inside of us. That we have to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If for nothing else, but for the fact that you saved me. Thanksgiving is this gratitude that cannot be kept inside. Have you ever done something for someone? And it meant something. That gift that you gave, or that act of service that you provided, it was something that was important to you to give. It meant something to you to provide this act of service. It meant something to you to give this financial gift. It meant something to you to inject your provision into the midst of their need. It was important to you, and you did that for someone, and they went, thanks. Has that ever happened? That's hurtful, isn't it? We do that to God. We do that to Him. By our lack of gratitude. And I'm talking about a gratitude that manifests itself. Some would say, well, that's not my personality. I think there's an attitude of praise and worship that has to rise above our personality. It has to go beyond our personality. And to say, this is not natural for me, but anything that we do as an act of sacrifice, of praise and worship to the Lord, isn't going to be natural. It's going to be something that costs us something. David talked relentlessly through the Psalms about a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise is something that starts in here and ends up out here, focused on the Lord, that isn't natural. That's what makes it a sacrifice. It's not easy. That's what makes it a sacrifice. It's costly. That's what makes it a sacrifice. Verse 2 goes on, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. And that word singing there in that verse means joyful triumphing. It's not singing that sounds like a funeral dirge. It's singing that is celebratory. And I get it, man. All of our personalities are very different. And say, I find it very uncomfortable to do that in a public setting. Well, do you do it in private? Just you and Jesus. It's not up to me to determine what you do, what you don't do, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. But I know this. Jesus is looking for us to have hearts and attitudes and lifestyles of thanksgiving. Is there any evidence in our lives that we are doing that? Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. And do you know what that word means in the Hebrew? Enter His gates as a choir of worshipers. A choir of worshipers. We today are a choir of worshipers. Do you know your part? Do you know your part? And enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. You know what the word steadfast means? Relentless. He does not quit. He doesn't quit. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 18 through 20. And I want you guys, as I'm reading through these scriptures, I would like for each one of you as individuals to be praying, what do I have to thank God for? What do I have to thank God for? And if you've never stood up in a church and said, man, I just want to thank God because He saved me. I just want to thank God for my family. I want to thank God for ABC provision, whatever it might be in your life. I want to encourage you, challenge yourself, get out of your comfort zone and say, I'm going to make this fleshly sacrifice because this is hard for me, this is costly for me, and it might be 5 seconds, but you just want to stand up and you want everybody that's a part of your local body of believers here to know that you are grateful for who Jesus is in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse, I had 18 through 20, it's 16 through 18, I believe. Let's read verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That word in verse 16, rejoice, it means to express gratitude, to delight in God's grace always. When Paul is giving this directive to the church at Thessalonica, he is saying, rejoice always. And what he is saying is, always express gratitude and delight in God's grace toward you. Always. He goes on in verse 17 to say, pray without ceasing. There's got to be something bigger here than what we understand, because how can we be on our knees 24/7. Well, I don't think we can. I don't think it's humanly possible to be on our knees 24/7. But what Paul is saying here is, I want you, church at Thessalonica, to have an attitude and to embrace this attitude of prayer every waking moment. I have been praying over the last week, God, wake me up in the middle of the night with a spirit of prayer. And it's amazing how God answers prayer. Because I have found myself over this last week waking up and finding myself praying while I'm still in this mental fog. And I'm finding myself in this attitude of prayer because I want to get closer to Him every single day. And the reality is, I'm way farther away from Him than He desires for me to be. I want to get closer. And I want to examine myself. And I want to do this. I want to express gratitude and delight in the awareness of His grace toward me. When Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church, he was sending a message here that we today, I don't know if they got it fully or not, but I know that the modern day church doesn't get this. There's a word in verse 18 that we unconsciously and I believe incorrectly swap out. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He said, give thanks in all things. He was giving a wide description of how we should show our gratitude to God and the relational and circumstantial context within which we should give our thanks. But I learned something very interesting as I studied this seemingly insignificant word, give thanks in all circumstances. Do you know the word in has 35 Greek definitions? A two-letter word, it has 35 Greek forms or slight changes or deviations from what we know that word in to mean. I'm just going to give you a very small percentage of some of the definitions. In means at, it means before, between, on, that, there, under, when, where, while. And it goes on. It's a long list. But there is one word that most of us seem to use interchangeably with the word in, and that is a word that's commonly used that is not one of the 35 descriptions. Very often we say, give thanks for all circumstances. Do you know that the word for is not one of those 35 plus definitions? It's not in there. I think about my son-in-law. Intestinal cancer. And it spread to the liver. Now it's into his pancreas. And you would say, well, Doug, if you were a Christian, or if Brian was a good Christian, or your daughter was a good Christian, they would thank God for this. And as I studied this, I'm thinking, wait a minute now. And we've all got family and friends and people that have had to go through this and other physical issues and financial issues and relational issues, all these different things. And I believe in our desire to want to honor the Lord, we basically are saying unintentionally, thank you for this attack of the enemy. The enemy is a thief and a liar, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And when we say thank you for this, and listen, I'm guilty. My hand is up. I have said, I'm thankful for this. But God doesn't tell us to be thankful for it. He says be thankful in it. Be thankful for me that I am with you, walking with you in this attack from the enemy. And I believe unintentionally there are times that we say, I want to thank God for this attack of the enemy. That doesn't even make sense. I've done it my whole life. And God knew my heart, and I believe He knows your attitude when you say, I want to be a grateful person, I want to be a thankful person. But I believe He wants us to understand there are certain things we should be thankful for, and there are certain things that we should stand up and square our shoulders and say, I'm going to fight this in the Spirit. I'm going to fight against this attack of the enemy. I'm going to fight against his lies. I'm going to fight against everything that he's doing to cause me to doubt who I am in Jesus and to doubt the power that he has within him. He wants us to be thankful in every circumstance for who he is. He wants us to be thankful because he is good. He is always good. Even when things don't make sense, he is good. And he's got a plan and he's got a purpose. Is there anyone here who would say, I've been through some stuff. I've been through some frustrations. And God has always been good. I don't want this. Please don't stand up and say, oh man, going through just a really hard time right now. I think all of us have moments like that. But this is a time, I don't want this to be a praise service to Satan. Let's make this a thanksgiving service where we say, in spite of what's going on, in spite of the hurt, in spite of the pain, I'm thankful because Jesus is alive and well, and God is on the throne, and I trust him. Who wants to stand up? You can't stay in your seat right now. You want to stand up and say, I want to thank Jesus because of this. Anybody, real quickly. And this is an opportunity to give him praise today.
I want to thank Jesus. I thank you for everything you've given me.
Amen.
He's in me, and I'm in him. I wouldn't be here without him.
Amen.
Too many things to say thank you for.
Amen.
Just accept it. Makes your heart feel really good.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Mary. Anybody else? You just want to thank the Lord for his goodness.
I just want to thank God for my son, my wife, my family, who's given me and surrounded me with, that I get to spend each day with.
Amen. Anybody else? Grateful for God's goodness in your life. Amen. Good stuff. Anybody else? Jerry.
I'm thankful that the Lord gave me the power of here and can't walk anymore. Thank you for learning that he ran from death.
Good stuff, Jerry. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jen. Anybody else? Yes, Tim. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Klaus.
I'm thankful for my wife, family, friends, and faithful friends, and all the other people here in this church. Just forgive me when I forget people's names.
I'd like to have the worship team come forward and let's do another song right now, and we'll read a few more scriptures. And if you're here today and you're feeling this like prompting that you want to get up and you haven't quite made it there yet, the service isn't over. We want everyone to have an opportunity to just give their praise and thanksgiving to the Lord this morning. Let's stand, everybody. Praise your name. Praise your name, Father. We want to come into a place of agreement, Lord, with that declaration. Your love is without end. Everything good about you, nothing bad about you. And Lord, we do want to thank you and praise you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 136, you may be seated. Psalm 136, 26 says, "Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever." And because his steadfast love endures forever, we should never stop thanking him forever. We should never stop constantly giving honor and glory and praise to him. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." There's another verse we might get to in a little bit that kind of goes along with that, but I want you to think about this for a minute. Continue steadfastly in prayer. That word steadfastly means to persevere. Persevere in prayer. Don't just pray, and now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. That is what the Bible refers to as a prayer of repetition, which we are taught to not pray, actually. Don't pray these prayers that are just a bunch of words. I don't know that it's evil or it's a sin to pray a prayer like that, but it's certainly not, there's certainly no life in it. And if we can take literally the command to not pray the prayer of repetition, it might be something that the Lord is saying, yeah, I'm not in that. I don't want you to do that. If we just get it into this routine and this mode of operating that we just do what we always do. And see, it can go beyond prayer. It can go beyond prayer to say, well, if I'm just praying and now I lay me down to sleep prayer, and the Lord's saying, I don't want you to do that repetitive thing. I'm not in that. Could it be that God is saying, it's more than that? I don't want you to go through a repetitive thing in your worship services. I don't want you to go through a repetitive thing in your personal quiet time. I don't want you to go through a repetitive thing just because you've always done it. God wants us to do what His Holy Spirit is leading us to do, and that we would be responsive to it. Continue steadfastly in prayer. That means to persevere in prayer, being watchful, which means to be vigilant in it, with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 6 deals with the same topic. And actually, you know what? I'm going to jump down and I'm probably going to mess Gabe up back there. But I'm gonna jump down to Philippians 4. And if I do mess him up, this is on me. Oh, well, he's got it. Good work, Gabe. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Has anybody here ever felt the peace of God when it made no sense whatsoever? Jen's hand went up really, really quick. I'm going to read that again. Do not be anxious about anything. And that means don't be worried or distracted. See, when we become anxious, we become nervous. It's like, oh, no, I mean, I just got this phone call and oh no, this is going on with my vehicle, and I just got this phone call from, you know, Obamacare, and my insurance got canceled, and oh no, I just got this, and oh no, we just got that. And then guess what happens? Our eyes begin to dart back and forth. The Bible says that our eyes are indicators, and they're windows into what's going on inside of us. And so what begins to manifest outwardly is an indicator of what's going on inwardly. And we become nervous. And when we become nervous and distracted and fearful, the faith meter begins to go back toward zero instead of up toward the other end. When we begin to say, oh, I want to be thankful, but I don't know if I can because of that phone call. I want to be thankful, but I don't know if I can because of that report. Do not be anxious, to be worried or distracted about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Many years ago, I read this, and this, it just hit me. It was like, wait a minute. God is saying, I want you to thank me before you get the answer. Thank me now. While you're in this moment where the enemy is wanting to come after you and attack you and to make you think that your situation is hopeless, that is where Jesus said, if you will lift your hands and thank me and praise me and give me glory in the midst of that really, really, really difficult situation, you're letting me know that you trust me. And that is thanksgiving that I will respond to. I will inject myself into your circumstance and your situation. But in everything, not for everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then the next word is implied, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I think about thanksgiving in faith. Thanksgiving in faith is the kind of thanksgiving that really draws God into our presence. Is He honored when we thank Him on the backside of a blessing? I believe He is. I believe He is. Does He become proactively engaged in our circumstances when we thank Him before the blessing comes? Oh, yeah. That excites me. That excites me to know that we have a God, the only true God, who is seated on the throne, and His Son Jesus, who died for you and died for me, is our advocate. He is our lawyer, and He's pleading our case. And so when we come into God's presence and we say, Lord, I thank You. I thank You, God, and I praise You for stepping in and doing in this situation what I cannot. Our lawyer, whose name is Jesus, goes to the Father and says, hey, Dad, let's move. Let's send our spirit down into that circumstance and do for this individual what they cannot do in, of, and for themselves. When we can thank God, when we can embrace thanksgiving in the midst of every circumstance that says, yeah, you got nothing to be thankful for. That's what the devil does. He whispers in our ear and says, what do you have to be thankful for? Does anybody want to stand right now and say, I want to thank God because in spite of whatever the world or the enemy has to say, He's been good to me, and I want to stand and give Him honor and glory for His faithfulness to me. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah. Marcy. Marcy, we had our Thanksgiving meal together on Thursday, and the Lord reminded me of a prayer that my dad used to pray often, but he definitely would pray it on Thanksgiving. And he would thank God for His provision, and he would thank the Lord for our family. And almost, I mean, every Thanksgiving prayer that I can remember, in addition to many others, he would say, God, help us to be mindful of those that have nothing. And do we realize how many millions and millions of people around the world have nothing? I told this story many months ago. I can remember, you guys, I'm sure, remember the earthquake that happened in Haiti. And I remember when it happened, I turned on Fox News or something. I think it was Fox News. And the cameraman was there, and he spotted a man that had been caught under a collapsed concrete building. And, you know, the cameraman was there, the reporter was there, there was a man with a light, and he shined that light into this dark pile of rubble, tons and tons and tons, probably hundreds of tons of concrete that had just collapsed, this concrete building that had collapsed. And this cameraman found a man that was trapped in that rubble, and I don't know for sure, I'd almost guarantee he didn't make it out. And this cameraman had his camera zoomed in on the face of a Haitian man who was laying there smiling. And that reporter said, "Sir, are you okay?" And he said, "Oh, yes. I watched this. I saw it live." He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "Why are you smiling?" He said, "This building is laying on top of you right now." He said, "I'm smiling because Jesus was Lord before this building fell, and he's Lord now." That's the kind of thanksgiving that will move heaven. Sylvia. Anybody else? Rick.
Well, I'm thankful for the kindred spirit, some of the leadership that a lot of not just the leadership, but also the stewardship of the people that do things around the facility.
Amen. Amen. Saw some, there you go, Sigrid.
I'm thankful that the Lord created an ancestry that ended up creating me. I'm thankful. I want everybody to add with me the numbers. I was born in the 10th month on the 19th. Number that I can't think of this moment comes up to 73. And that's how old I am this year. Who thinks of things like that? I didn't used to forget that. I mean, I only thought of this 2 weeks ago. And I, that last number is gone. But it does all me. Thank you, God, for my children, my five grandchildren, my eight great-grandchildren, and all those who will come later.
Amen.
With his will.
God doesn't do anything by accident. One more. Two more, okay?
I have some kind of involved.
Okay.
God is so good. I think I can talk about
something.
Good.
44.
That's it.
Sorry. Bless you. God is amazing, and we've had a difficult circumstance the last year and a half. A year and a half ago, my daughter-in-law said that she wanted my son to move out of the house, and that she wanted to divorce. And Goldie and I were happily living in Wenatchee. Rocked our world. custody of his kids, which is pretty unusual in the state of Washington. And God is just doing great things. Right now we're cleaning up his house, and as I'm scraping all the popcorn stuff off the ceiling and painting walls, I'm just claiming those rooms for God's glory. And it's exciting. Today I was reading in Joshua, where Moses has died, and now God is talking to Joshua, and, you know, just kind of go for it, certain things. And he said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. So just claiming that house, that property for God's glory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you shall prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I got it. Ole started having to keep a list of all the crazy, amazing things that God has done in this last year and a half that only God could do.
Amen. Amen. Jasmine, last one. Amen. Let's stand, and we're going to sing a closing song. Let's sing it with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Worship team.